We are back. We are live. Episode 424 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. My friends, I hope this podcast finds you doing amazing. I'm excited to get this into your ears because not too long ago, myself, Steve Cavanaugh, did a Facebook Live and we interviewed one of our Ascend members, Matt Fullerton, who is one of the top wholesalers. He and his partner, Daryl Wilson, are some of the top wholesalers in the DMV area, DC, Maryland, Virginia. So let me kind of frame what you guys are about to listen to. And by the way, Matt's an outgoing guy. He's funny. He drops some F-bombs and he's colorful. So if you're not into that kind of thing, I would still tell you to watch this or listen to this podcast. And you can also watch this on YouTube, youtube.com/Alex Pardo. I'm starting to publish more of my podcast episodes on there for you. Matt's one of our Ascend members. He's part of our coaching and mastermind group. And so Matt was in business just a short year. And last year, just after being in business for a year, he and his partner, Daryl, closed $946,000 in wholesale fees in 2019. That's pretty awesome. Here's what's even more awesome. They did that with a team of four people with little tiny overhead. So we get into a lot. We get into exactly how he did that. We talk about, 2019 was great for them, but 2020 is a different reality, right? It's a different market. Obviously, we're dealing with this pandemic. And so what are they doing now? How are they marketing? How are they acquiring properties? How are they disposing of properties? We get into a lot of good stuff. This one goes longer than most of our podcasts. We went about an hour and 40 minutes. And let me just tell you that most of the people on the live stayed through from start to finish. So it was engaging. I hope you're entertained. And more importantly, I hope you're educated and you pick up some nuggets from this this podcast. So really appreciate all the love you guys have been sending my way since I've started doing more Facebook Lives. I encourage you to connect with me. Again, three different platforms, Instagram.com/AlexPardo25, Facebook.com/AlexPardo15. And youtube.com/AlexPardo. So I'm putting out more content on social. If you have any special requests, anybody you'd like me to interview on the show, any topics you want me to dive into, just anything, I'm here to serve. And I know, look, we're dealing with a lot. And obviously this podcast episode, this Facebook Live was recorded, a little bit ago. So there's probably some things that have changed since then, but the message and the content remains unchanged. So I hope and trust that you're going to get a lot out of this. Have an awesome day. Let's go. I got Mr. Matt Fullerton here in the middle of the screen. And Matt is somebody who you guys may or may not know, but this guy, him and his partner, Daryl, have quietly gone about the business of just absolutely smashing it. I shared with you guys on the, on Facebook and in the email I sent out that him and his partner, they got a pretty small team, tight operation. They did, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, $946,000 in wholesale fees in 2019.
That's exactly right. I wish it was a million even, but it's not. It's 940.
Dude, just one more deal, Matt.
Just I know. One more. I don't know why I couldn't. Believe me, at the end of the year, I was like, fuck, we need one more deal, man. We need to get this to a million. And I think we closed one like 3 days into the new year that would have put us over. But
dude, yeah. You're such a slacker. You couldn't get to just the round seven-figure number? I mean, really?
Pathetic, man. Pathetic. Believe me, it's going to be a lifelong regret.
I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding, obviously. How long have you guys been in business, Matt?
Since fall of 18, so year and a half.
Wow. Wow. So obviously that's pretty damn remarkable, at least by my standards. You know, one of the things, guys, that we're going to do is, you know, with COVID-19, we're about a month and a half or so into this process. And I'm always curious to get people's perspective on how they're seeing their specific local market, how they're seeing things nationally, how are they adjusting, how are they adapting? I think as entrepreneurs, obviously, Steve will back me up on this. And Matt, I know, will back me up as well. You guys have to adapt and you have to adjust. And I think the quicker you guys can get to acceptance about this being a new reality, expecting things to change, but just again adapting to the current environment, I think the quicker you're going to find success. That's not to say you're not going to have a lot of challenges. I don't want to just paint a rose colored picture here. Obviously, this is impacting and affecting all of us, but we have the ability to do so, and I think it starts here, right? So, guys, the way this is going to work, if you joined us last week with Todd Foster, it was a phenomenal live. We got a lot of really good feedback. We want to make this interactive. I was telling. We want to educate. We want to entertain if possible. And we want to make this interactive. We want to answer your questions. We're here to serve. We're here to lead you guys. And so bring the questions. Again, let's make this interactive. If you have questions, start getting them in the feed now, because we'll probably sprinkle some questions throughout the live. And then at some point towards the end of this, we're going to open it up. And as long as Matt and Steve are good with time, we won't leave until we answer everybody's questions. So Matt, before we officially kind of bring you into the fold here, Steve.
Yeah, man.
Any words?
Yeah, brother. Thank you very much, man, for putting this on and kind of spearheading this. Our Alex, for those of you who don't know, is our non-tech in-house tech guy, and he's doing an awesome job with StreamYard and Facebook Live and everything. And he's just been out on the forefront for all you guys out there, the past couple of weeks who have been looking for a direction to go. So, my compadre with Ascend here, my partner, Alex. And so anyway, so we put this thing together almost a year ago now, Ascend. And one of the first guys to hop on board is a local guy to me up in Southern Maryland, Matt here. And Matt and Daryl have created one of the DMV's biggest wholesaling shops, real estate investing shops in the area. And almost a shorter period of a time. They've been around a little bit longer than Ascend was together, but for them to join Ascend was an absolute no-brainer, and maybe Matt will talk a little bit about that. But Matt Fullerton has very quickly made a name for himself in the DMV area as one of the go-to guys, and as a result has just come out of the gate just screaming. And I'm really interested to know kind of where he's at since this COVID thing. I've talked to Daryl since it's all come down. I haven't really talked much to Matt since this has all come down. And we purposely didn't really discuss a whole lot before this call so we could get you guys his live reaction on, you know, what he's seeing in his business right now, how he's pivoting, the changes that he's making. So before we get started, I just want to kind of say hi to some of the folks on. Armando, what's happening? Kia, hello.
Armando, Kia. Brett.
We got Ron Pickerel again. Ron, what's up, man? My good buddy, Ron, who run the Southern Maryland Real Estate Investing Group all those years with me. So without
Brett, we got some Ascenders in the house. Brett, Armando,
and here Kia. Too.
Yeah.
That's right, man. So without further ado, Alex, I'm going to go ahead and introduce Matt Fullerton. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Blessed.
Yeah, man.
So talk to us, man. How I want to jump into it, and I don't want to spend too much time on your background, but in 1 minute to 2 minutes, 60 seconds or so, give people a quick recap. I know you come from a sales background, but just kind of let's get people up to speed in 1 to 2 minutes, quick background. I do want to keep the focus of this live, as you know, as just delivering as much value and content as possible. Looks like we got roughly 46 people on here, so, and I'm sure some more will trickle in. And so we're here to serve. Again, we want to help. There's a lot that you guys are dealing with right now. There's a lot of uncertainty. And so, we want to kind of share the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that's what we're here to do. So quick recap, Matt, your background, how you got into real estate. We'll keep it short and brief, and then we'll dive into the content.
Yeah. So I do come from a sales background. I started selling cars when I was, just shy of 18 years old. Figured out I had a knack for sales. Worked in the car business for a long time, you know, all the way up to a general sales manager. It's a volatile business. It's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people aren't valued that much. It's hierarchical. It just, it was never a really good fit, but I thought, you know what, I'm never going to be able to do anything. I'm going to be able to make money, you know, enough money. So I have to stick with it. And finally, one day I had enough and I quit without any other, you know, any backup or anything like that. And you know, I found my way into a private equity firm where I worked for a couple of years, and I did a lot of travel then and, you know, met with people in their homes. And I think that really prepared me for this business, for real estate investing. After that business became more regulated, I left that and came and started working for Express Home Buyers, who was one of the larger real estate firms in the DMV. Started there as a home buying specialist. You know, I didn't know anything about real estate. I got my license, learned a lot there. You learned a ton, and we had huge, huge months when we first started wholesaling there. I mean, we did more than one time. We did over $1 million in wholesale fees in a month. Yeah. Wow. So we had big months. We figured out a good process. You know, things changed after a while there. A new CEO was brought in. It just was no longer a fit. And I realized it was probably time for me to start out on my own. So I started Chesapeake House Hunters with my partner, Daryl Wilson, last fall. And, you know, we haven't looked back.
Amazing. Amazing. Hey guys, Steve, before we start firing some questions at Matt and opening it up, guys, do us a favor. If you can share the broadcast with your audience, we would greatly appreciate that. Obviously guys, nothing for sale here. We're just talking content. We're here to share and give. If you guys, we want to impact more people and we want to help more people. So if you guys are willing to share, that'd be awesome. Again, greatly appreciated. And at the very minimum, if you guys can, you know, throughout the broadcast, if you guys can hit that like, the love button, you know, show Matt some love.
Steve some love. Come on.
We want to be loved, guys. We want to be loved. So click that button. Not Alex
and Steve, just me. Yeah. Right. Those guys are fine. All right.
So, Matt, let me jump into it. And Steve, man, we could just make this organic. Pop in when you have any questions. We've done this enough. Matt, so last year we talked about it. We had a question that popped up here. And look, guys, I want to – somebody asked how many wholesale deals, if I can find it. I don't know your name, Facebook user, but how many actual wholesale deals to make up that 946? I'm going to kick that question over to Matt. Guys, don't put so much of an emphasis on the focus on the number of deals. Or even the revenue, because it's all relative. You know, I know a lot of guys that do seven and make very little money. And then I know other guys that make $500,000 in revenue and they're keeping 75% of that.
You gross for show, you net for dough.
There, you say that again?
You gross for show, you net for dough.
Yeah. Gross for show, net for dough. I like that. And that's not to say it's not impressive to do a lot of volume and do, but don't put so much of an emphasis on a focus on that, because everybody's market's different. There's a lot of variables. So having said that, let's start off with that question. Last year, you guys have talked to us about your team. What's that look like? And then how many deals made up that 946?
So our team is really simple now. You know, we keep it pretty lean and mean, and you know, we have a policy. I try to only hire people that I think are smarter or better than me. So all we have is we don't need people worse than me, because you know, how's that going to help anything? So we got Daryl, you know, and then we've got Daryl's my partner. He's also the COO. He handles a lot of the operational stuff that, you know, we'd fucking go under if it weren't for that, man. Cause you know me, I'm not looking at spreadsheets and doing that kind of stuff. And then we have Alex, our acquisition manager. He's super talented sales guy. You know, as good as it gets. So you know, we're really lucky to have him here. He runs a lot of the acquisitions for us, and I do that with him as well. And then of course we have Nicole, our assistant. She helps us with a lot of our talking, you know, with our with talking to sellers, sending text, all those kind of things.
Okay.
Things, all that. So it's a small team. And for a long time there, it was just me and Daryl. Nicole and Alex have come in the last 6 months.
Okay. So first of all, you're speaking our language. Steve and I have been talking about this for a while. I love the fact that you have a small, lean team and that you were able to accomplish almost seven figures in wholesale fees, because what I'm hoping that really highlights for people listening is that, contrary to popular belief, and ask me how I know, you don't necessarily need a big team with a lot of overhead in order to make a lot of money and close a lot of deals. So why don't we kind of start there? You came from an outfit that was very well known, very successful in their own right. Mm-hmm. You know, and they did a lot of volume. You know, they're closing a lot of deals. It seems like you've kind of gone about the business of building a different type of, you know, low overhead, small team, but you're still doing a lot of deals and making a lot of money. So talk to us about your mindset and how you kind of see big operation, big overhead, doing a lot of volume versus the direction you guys have decided to go in.
Working for Express. I mean, we did numbers that I think, you know, are going to be really hard to ever match. At least for a long time. I don't see anyone doing $1 million in wholesale fees in a month. And
that's crazy.
I mean, I don't see that happening. You know, that was, you know, like something like 40 deals. It was crazy. So we did a ton of volume. We learned a lot, but also, you know, when you're doing that kind of deal volume over there, it's, you know, there's a giant marketing spend. There's, you know, there's people in all different layers of the organization. There's management, middle management, there's salespeople, there's title people, there's accounting people, there's VAs, you know, there's a ton of salary, a ton of marketing expense, software. I mean, all the software we used, you know, there's a lot of stuff, you know. To me, everything always kind of felt a little bloated, like we could always make it simpler. Now I'm always trying to, one of my favorite things in life is to throw things away and get rid of things that aren't useful. So, you know, I kind of looked at that and was like, man, you know, when things started to slow down and we started to, you know, there started to be a lot of competition, all of a sudden we realized, you know, there's this $600,000 a month overhead, and we're just scraping, just trying to get to that. You know, we're just trying to just cover that nut and then try to make a little bit on the other end. And that was, you know, that was stressful. You know, all that debt and stuff, there's this constant looming threat of, oh, things could go down under if we just have one bad month or two bad months.
Right.
I'm never doing that, man.
Well, how sexy is overhead right now?
Yeah, we have very little overhead. I think we're just north of $3,000 a month in overhead. We have, you know, basically nothing. Sometimes we spend a little more if we buy ourselves some t-shirts or we do something, you know, but we buy an extra list or two. But yeah, we're low overhead. We have zero debt. So, you know, we don't have that. So I'm never worried about us, you know, really going under, having any issues during this coronavirus thing, because we're lean. You know, we don't have to worry about paying off $1 million loans, or we don't have to worry about, you know, keeping 20 employees paid. You know, I can make sure that my people are paid and we can keep operating leaner. You know, it is, are things slower? Sure. Yeah, they are a little slower. I think that's a fact across the board. Mm-hmm. But we're in a good position to ride that out. And I also, man, I see tons of opportunity on the other side of this. Like, I'm just chomping at the bit to get to the other side so we can start making a whole lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. And you know, what's interesting listening to you speak, Matt, the little emoji of like the mind blown kind of emoji popping up, because I guarantee you there's 78, 80 people on this live right now. And there's going to be hundreds more that listen to this in the future, if not many more than that. And if I'm listening to this, I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, you got four team members. You did just shy of $1 million in wholesale fees in 2019, and your overhead is next to nothing. You said $3,000 a month, which I'm guessing obviously that doesn't count what you guys pay yourself, right?
No, yeah, it doesn't count. That counts just what we, you know, what we pay for our employees, the business, those kind of things.
Okay, right. So that begs the obvious question, at least a question that comes to mind for me, and Steve probably has additional questions bouncing around in his head. How did you do that? How do you take such a small team? And how do you close? I mean, what, I'm guessing you closed somewhere around 50 deals to achieve that 946?
46. Yeah, 40. Sorry, I had to cheat and look real quick at my little board. But yeah, 40. It was 46.
Okay, so you're basically doing about four deals a month, if the calculator in my head is working. How do you do that with a small team of four, tiny overhead? Talk to us about, let's start to get into some of the specifics, because if I'm listening to this, that's one of the first questions I have.
Yeah, so we didn't really have a choice. You know, when we left Express Home Buyers, there was a disputed non-compete in place, and we ended up agreeing to some restrictions just to, you know, make that go away so we could move on with our lives. So we couldn't do any kind of like traditional marketing until November of 2019. So for almost, you know, we agreed to that, I think, in January or February of 2019. So, you know, for almost our whole first year, we couldn't do any, you know, TV, no radio, no PPC, no social media, no, we couldn't buy lists and stuff. We couldn't do any of that. So we had to be innovative and kind of think of a way, hey, how can we get deals without spending a bunch of money on advertising? And the thing I thought of was, mean, there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of other companies that do what we do out there. And, you know, I remember from Express how leads would come in and we could never keep up with them. I mean, there would be dozens and dozens that, you know, got hit one time by a live person and then they would go into some follow-up campaign. You know, no one responds to that shit. So I figured there's got to be so many other people out there who have leads just sitting there that are gold but can't work them. Like, what if I could work them? Well, because I need leads. And then I could just pay them, you know, X percentage off of if we get a deal. And, you know, we found some people willing to do that, luckily. And we paid them a lot of money. And we made a lot of deals. And they told their friends. And it kind of snowballed from there. And that's what we've been doing. And we're still doing that. You know, we buy lists here and there. We get a lot of referrals and things like that. But we still work leads for other companies who don't have the bandwidth. And we still just crush their closing rates.
So that is amazing. Like, that's the big takeaway right there is Matt said, what are other people not doing well? What do we do well? What's our unique genius here? And how can we make this work? And then he went to work doing it. He is 100% right. I mean, Alex, you talk to a lot of investors across the country every single week. How many people out there are just letting leads go by the wayside as a normal course of their operations? I mean,
the majority. By the way, I've been guilty of that myself.
Me too.
Me too. Me too. We all have. Yeah. I mean, when you're working for someone big and you get a ton of leads in a day, like, what do you call them? And then you get on the phone with something else. You have a dispo issue. You have a title issue. You know, things come up, and pretty soon it's been 3 days since you've called one of these leads. They've already talked to your competitors, or they've, you know, changed their mind or talked to an agent or whatever.
Yeah.
They cooled off.
Matt, I'm curious, man, because you're one of your strong suits. And one of the things I've always admired about you, man, is you are just you're a great communicator, but you love to get on the phone. You love to talk to sellers. And that is like your strong suit. I have a feeling that you can totally sell an ice cube to an Eskimo. And I mean, there's just no getting out of a sale with Matt Fullerton. So talk to me and maybe some of the people out there who aren't as comfortable on the phone. What kind of knowledge or what kind of value could you provide to somebody who wants to kind of get better with their phone skills, wants to get better at communicating with sellers, wants to get better at sales? I know you do some sales training stuff. What kind of pointers could you throw out there for people?
I mean, there's a lot. You know, one thing I'd say is just keep educating yourself. You're never going to be good enough. You know, like, I'm definitely not good enough, right? I know people factually out there who are much better salespeople than me. And believe me, I would love to hire them or something like that. But I mean, there's always someone else out there who knows more than you. So read books, listen to podcasts, you know, seek out mentors. Like, that's what I did, you know, with Ascend. I know a lot about sales, know a lot about this, but I didn't know, you know, as much about how to, you know, structure a business and make it work the way I needed to. And, you know, Alex and Steve had more experience with that. And, you know, I wanted to find a community of people that I could, you know, get with and figure out how to make this work. So that's one of the ways I came to Ascend, was looking for a mentor myself. And I think everyone should do that. You know, I mean, I think everyone should look for someone who knows more than them and then go, like, say, hey, how can I provide value to this person so that they'll provide some value to me? Yeah. In addition to that, I would say one of the biggest things you can develop in yourself is believing in yourself, self-confidence. Don't get trapped in, you know, in negativity or dogma from other people. You know, don't listen to that kind of bullshit. You know, think that, you know, really, you know, focus on thinking like, hey, I'm going to make this deal. Hey, I'm going to make this happen. Like, I always think I am. You're going to, if you ask Daryl, I'll be like, Daryl say, oh man, these people are stuck at 250. I'm like, just get me on the phone with them. I'll make the deal. And he'll get all like, oh yeah, right. You want me? And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But
yeah,
you know, I always think, I'm always shocked when I don't get the deal. I'm always like, what the hell? How come they're not selling to us? So, yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, believe in yourself, trust yourself, be yourself. That I know it sounds like some advice your grandmother would give you, but it's
really good. Okay.
Yeah. No, and that's so good, you know, and I'd like to spend a couple of minutes talking about that. You know, I think some people are just wired that they just have this natural innate confidence in them. And a lot of it, for many people, I think that comes from the wins, right? From success and from trial and error. And just for you, Matt, for somebody that maybe you're very outgoing, you're an extrovert, you have the mentality that I'll close anybody, like, let me get them on the phone kind of thing. There's a lot of people listening to this that are not, that are introverts.
That's true.
I'm actually an introvert myself. I know, I see you.
I don't buy that one. I'm serious,
man. Look at my, Steve has my disc. He can look at it. And then also,
you know, so before you
keep ABA,
make me screen share it, Matt.
I'm a 9434. I mean, I'm way on the low end. I'm like, ask my wife, man. I don't go to parties. I won't go to anything.
So you know what's funny? There's several ascenders watching this right now who have been in our mastermind. I don't even think one of them would say you're an introvert, but go ahead. I'll give it to you.
I found that introverts, you know, are people who lean more towards the introvert side, they make better salespeople. Extroverts want to make friends, right? Mm. Extroverts love, you know, that conversation, that attention, they want to make friends. You know, it's not necessary to get to the point. It's not necessary to, you know, drill down. It's not necessary to, you know, have conflict for the sake of a better outcome. You know, extroverts want everyone to be happy and want everyone to be friends. And there's nothing at all inherently wrong with that. I've just found that that can keep you from making deals. And I think you guys could say, I don't give a shit about being anyone's friend. You know, I give a shit about making money. So that's why I'm here. That's why we're in business. You know, we want to help people who have problems with their house, and we want to make money. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Man, all this time I thought we were friends, Matt.
No, Matt, so okay, speak directly to somebody listening to this or watching this that says, I'm lacking that confidence. You know, I'm scared to pick up the phone, or I'm hesitant to go out there and do what I got to do. And they let kind of fear stop them. What are your quick thoughts on how to overcome that for somebody listening who just doesn't have, they don't have the reps built in, and it just, they're not wired with confidence at this point?
Oh man, I mean, the best way to do it is to learn. I mean, I get my teeth kicked in by sellers all the time. I mean, I get cussed out, yelled at every day. You know, I think the real important thing is to, you know, it's what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Someone cusses you out and yells at you. I mean, is that going to affect you in any appreciable way? No, nothing. It doesn't change anything, you know, and then all it does is make you more prepared for the next person who does that. And eventually you'll be turning those people around like, whoa, you're cussing me out here, Steve. I was just calling to try to make you a great offer in your house. I apologize, man. I won't ever do that again. You know, things can change in the course of conversation. So people are afraid to make a phone call. I would say, look, you got to force yourself to do it. You know, if you're nervous, if it doesn't feel right, it's not supposed to feel right. If it feels comfortable, then you're not doing anything important. Trust me. You know, anyone ever get anywhere laying in a hammock? No. Because it's comfortable, right? You're just laying there. It's got to hurt a little bit for it to be worthwhile. So go ahead, take that pain. It'll just make you better.
That's right. And you know, guys, with repetitions, it only gets easier. One thing that always stuck with me years ago, I don't know if I got this from a coach, a mentor, or a book, but like, sales is a contact sport. It's a numbers game. I'm not breaking any ground here. What I'm saying is very basic and 101. But every no gets you that much closer to a yes. It's just a numbers game. That's all it is.
Well, you have to look at it. Yep.
I had a sales manager years ago in the car business. He used to say 50 no's and a yes means yes. So, you know, you be careful where and how you use that. But, you know, that's a good point.
That's good.
I saw a meme recently that I think it was Thomas Edison. I might put myself out there and sound foolish. It was Thomas Edison that discovered electricity, right?
Nikola Tesla.
Was it? No, man. What are you talking about?
Ripped him off, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so it was neither here nor there.
So here's the point. It was either Thomas Edison or Alexander Graham Bell, who I know invented the telephone. At least I believe he did. One of those two guys I saw. I'm talking crap. It was Abe Lincoln. Abe Lincoln. I saw a meme. That's who it was. It was Abe Lincoln that it showed like this timeline from like 19. I don't know what. Or no, whenever Abe Lincoln was around, and it showed this timeline over like 40 years of all these failures, just failure after failure after failure after failure, until he finally obviously became president, you know. So I was thinking the wrong guy, but it was Abraham Lincoln. Let me backtrack for a second. I want to take a few steps back and kind of go in a little bit of a different direction. You highlighted something that I want to make sure that the people watching this and listening to this in the future, make sure it lands on them. You guys closed almost $1 million in wholesale fees, and your main marketing channel was getting other people's leads, picking up the phone and calling them and or texting. Did I basically summarize that?
That is correct.
So how much did that marketing channel cost you, out of curiosity?
It cost us zero. I mean, we didn't pay anything for the leads. We got them, and then we, you know, we worked out profit splits on the back end.
So, and what percentage, Kia has a great question. I'm going to leave it on the screen here so we can address that, because I think it's relevant to the conversation, Matt and Steve. Yeah. What percentage of the $946,000 that you guys closed in wholesale fees came from other wholesalers' leads?
I think 70. I think it was just shy of 70. We had some other leads from realtors, you know, referrals, those kind of things, you know, like just organic posting on Facebook, but I think it was right just shy of 70%.
70% of the 900. Somebody do some quick math. What's seven? Well, if it was $1 million, that'd be $700,000. So basically, $600,000 came from marketing efforts that your competitors spent time, energy, and resources for, correct?
Yeah, they did a great job too, man.
All right. So Kia's got a great question. I've heard the approach of working with your competitors' leads. How do you begin that process of farming their dead/cold leads? What type of paperwork? What's the split? Why don't we address that question? Because I think it's extremely timely to the conversation. Somebody listening to this, replicate, maybe not that success, but even if they accomplished a quarter of that success, working other people's leads, I mean, that's a massive win. What's step one in that process?
Step one is, you know, usually someone, now it's usually someone reaching out to us saying, hey, I've got these leads. I've heard you guys did this. How do we work this out? You know, and of course, you know, they want the best deal for them. So splits are on a case by case basis, you know, depending on where the leads come from, who it is, how much involvement there is. It's something that, you know, it's something that would be, I'd have to discuss individually with people. Okay. The process starts from them either reaching out to us or someone that we run into, and the conversation starts up. From there, you know, we discuss, hey, where did these leads come from? You know, how many are there? How old are they? You know, what blah, 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 all that, you know, relevant info. After that, we, if we can agree on it, you know, we have a joint wholesale agreement that we send over, and, you know, we both get it signed. You know, we adjust the terms for whatever agreement we've done. Then we, you know, take an import of leads. Usually it's a, you know, Excel spreadsheet, Google Docs, something like that. We put them into a shared sheet that we can access along with the person who provided the leads. And then we work them and adjust and make notes and color code in real time so they can see what's happening. When we get a lead under contract, you know, we keep them. We like to give people, you know, if it's their lead, write a first refusal to buy it. So what we usually do is either, hey, you know, if you want this deal, either pay us, you know, flat 10 grand or 4% of the sale price or the purchase price, whichever's higher. Okay. And then if they want it, you know, then of course they got it. You know, it's their lead, can be their deal. If not, we'll wholesale it and we'll do a profit split on the back end.
Got it. And what does that profit split look like, if you don't mind sharing?
It depends. It's anywhere from, you know, it can be anywhere from, you know, 70-30 to 50-50, depending on, you know, what how much we've had to do, what's gone into it, those kind of things. But it's usually somewhere in that range.
Okay. Got it. You know what I love is that, Steve, I, you probably caught this, but I didn't hear any fancy CRM. I didn't hear any fancy automation. I didn't hear the latest and greatest widget or tool. Simple spreadsheet. I mean, you that stuff is helpful, but sometimes I think depending on the type of person you are, that could hurt you more than it can help you. Dude just did it with, you know, a simple spreadsheet and just got about the business of like pounding the phone and just getting in front of people.
CRMs are bloated, man. And it's, you know, everyone looks, people tend to equate, you know, intricacy with effectiveness, and that's just not the case, you know.
That's good.
You know, simplicity, what was it? Was it Steve Jobs or Steve Wozniak? You know, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication, that their original Apple, you know, the original Apple slogan. Yes. It might have been Da Vinci who said that.
It was.
But yeah, I mean, I think that holds true. You know, CRMs always offer all this functionality, you know, oh, you're going to be able to do this and this and this. And how much of it do you use? Like, honestly, how many of the functions of your CRM do you use? I would say less than 20%, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need any of this shit. So we'll use a sheet. It'll be just as effective. It'll be easier to see. Things won't get lost in the shuffle. It's always right there. It's worked out great.
Yeah. And I will personally say Matt has worked some of my old leads, and he was able to make something of them, and they totally kept me in the loop the whole way with their spreadsheet that they use, and everything is great. And I'll even go so far as to back Matt up also. One of the first calls that I had with his partner, Daryl, was about the, you know, one of their coaching calls was, Hey, Steve, look, we're looking to invest in a CRM. What should we do? And I said, well, tell me what you're doing right now. He told me everything that you guys are doing. I said, what's broken with what you guys are doing right now? Yep. Well, nothing. I said, keep riding that horse till she drops, baby. You know,
So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No overhead. Matt,
let's get real practical here. Pretend I'm a wholesaler in the DMV area, and I got a ton of dead leads. Maybe my follow-up system sucks, whatever the case might be. Let's just say we don't have a relationship, right? Yeah. let's quickly like role play, and this can be 60 seconds. I want to give people a taste of what that conversation sounds like, because I think what I'm hoping people are getting from this is, number one, this is a really, really effective and free strategy. All it requires is time and effort, which all of us can do. It doesn't require any money. But what I want people, I don't want the how-to stop people. What is, and I know that what we're about to role play isn't anything sexy, but just for people, the benefit of people listening, what is that conversation? You don't know me. I'm a wholesaler. You found me, whatever, however the case might be. Hi, Kerry. You found me.
Alex said hi. He saw you. She was trying to see my friend.
Steve and I talk so much that Carrie's like, I'm so tired of listening to Alex. I know that's what
she can't hear you. She's always talking.
Okay, cool. So Matt, what is that conversation? You call me out of the blue. Maybe you saw my bandit sign. Maybe you looked me up on Google and you saw I was on the first page, whether it was paid or SEO. What does that conversation sound like?
Usually it's, hey, you know, hey, Alex, this is Matt Fullerton with Chesapeake House Hunters, man. Look, I really admire what you guys have been doing. You know, I think, I don't know if you know who we are or not, but this is who we are. You know, give a quick rundown of that. You know, how's business right now? If it was today, I'd say, man, how's business going for you guys? You know, with everything that's going on out there.
Actually, man, it's kind of, yeah, we'll role play it for a minute or two. Sure. It's, dude, you know, it's kind of tough, you know, we're trying to make things happen, but, you know, obviously it's a tough market right now.
Yeah, we're seeing the same things. What we're seeing a lot of is lender buyers, you know, hard money buyers. A lot of them are kind of going to the sideline because the lenders are. So it's more of a cash buyer market right now. You guys feeling the same kind of crunch?
Yeah, man, a couple of months ago, it was a little bit more challenging to get these deals and it was easy to sell them. Now it seems like it's completely reversed on us.
Yeah, Alex, I'd love to sit here and chit chat with you, man, but it's not really my style. I'll cut right to the chase here. We really admire what you guys are doing. We see your deals come out. You know, I don't know how much you know about us, but let me just tell you what we do. Our bread and butter is we take dead leads from other investors, you know, so say, you know, I'm sure you have, how many leads would you say you have coming in today?
Today we probably have 15 to 20 leads.
Yeah. So, and are you, and how do those get followed up on? You guys have a bunch of salespeople calling them every day, those kind of things?
No, we have a pretty small team, man. And sometimes we do our best, you know, we have an automated follow-up sequence. And so we let that do a lot of the heavy lifting, but yeah, I mean, we try to pick up these calls live, and then sometimes our deals slip through the cracks because there's a bottleneck, right? I mean, we're a pretty small team.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I thought you'd say. That's what I hear almost all the time. So what we do, just for your information, of course, I'm not asking you for anything. This isn't a sales pitch. I'm just telling you. So if we talk in the future, we can talk more about it. What we do is we work old leads, usually 3 months to 3 years of age, that aren't being called actively by your people. We'll take those. We'll work them. We'll put them in a shared sheet that we can all see, so that you can track the progress, and we'll work them directly. You know, we'll have people on them touching them every day. And anything that we get under contract and wholesale, you know, we'll split the profits with you. You don't have to do jack shit. You don't have to worry about dispositions. You don't have to worry about title. You don't have to worry about anything except getting that check or wire from the title company.
Got it. And Matt, let me ask you a question. What, because we also rehab, we cherry pick and rehab. If we wanted to buy, like if you contract something that we, from our leads, how does that work?
Yeah. So if we get something under contract, you get right of first refusal. So I'd say, hey, Alex, look, you know, here we got this house under contract in we're Hialeah, right? And we got this house and we know you like that area. So here you go. Here's the house. If you want it, it's either a 10K fee, flat fee to us, or 4% of the purchase price, whichever's higher.
Okay.
But you get right of first refusal on every deal.
So we're gonna stop the role play right there. But pretty simple. Matt was himself. He was very direct. He wasn't pitching. He's saying, "Hey, I just want to kind of plant this seed with you." Those are my words, not his. And it's very simple. Anthony, successful investor and wholesaler. You know, I think he's right. Many people say they go through the dead leads, but I'm doubting. I think there's a lot of money sitting there, guys. I've been pounding the drum about this for several weeks. I know Steve, you agree. We all, including our team, because I tell them on our daily huddles pretty much every day, guys, there's money in our database. There's money in the leads, but how effective and how good are you at following up with them, right?
Let us work them, Alex. I know Miami, man. Miami for you. No problem.
And over the closer.
I'm on a few Miami appointments. I can do that.
All right. All right. You see that confidence, like just like bursting through again. No. And dude, that's that. I think that we're pretty good with the follow-up. And I understand the importance of follow-up. You know, I think three out of four, roughly our KPIs are three out of four deals come on the follow-up. So Anthony has a super quick question. What areas are you in? Matt, he's in the DMV area, DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Yeah. So we do the greater DC area. We do some of the Baltimore Metro. We do, you know, Baltimore County, Howard County, a little bit in the city, but the city always gives us a problem, man. I can't figure that place out. But our bread and butter areas are, you know, DC, PG, Anne Arundel, those, you know, MoCo, those places.
Okay, cool. Hey, Steve, before we keep going, any follow-up questions on your end as far as like this whole process for people?
No, I think that's good. I do have a few questions, though, as far as the direction that we might want to take this conversation, specifically with regard to dispositions. I'm curious what Matt's seeing there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, So we're seeing it, you know, it's taking longer and it's harder to sell deals. Mm-hmm. Since this COVID thing really took off. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys, how the lenders are where you are, Alex, but here, you know, we're seeing a lot of hard money lenders step to the sidelines because, you know, Wall Street crashed and, you know, they sell their deals to Wall Street. So it's coming back now. So hopefully we'll get people, you know, coming back into lending. But right now it's mostly, you know, private money and cash buyers is what we're seeing as buying right now. So we're trying to be much stricter with our deal criteria. You know, we're trying to buy at lower percentages because people not only, you know, even if a deal looked great 2 months ago, that same deal doesn't look great now. People want it for less because of the uncertainty.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. We're seeing the same exact thing, by the way. We've, you know, I think we talked about this. I've done so many of these lives already in the last week. I don't recall, but we've tightened up our buy box as well. We're being more selective. We're finding it's easier on the acquisition side. It's definitely more challenging on the disposition side. So, Steve, I'm glad you went there, man, because I think that's what's going to really help people. Acquisitions, by and large, I think you're going to find it to be as sellers start to get slapped in the face with the reality of COVID-19, because I don't think it's hit many of them yet, at least what we're seeing in South Florida, but soon it will. However, buyers have adapted pretty quickly. What are you guys doing, Matt, with your existing buyers? And then what are you doing to market for new buyers? Because we all know that the people that were buying 30 days ago, many of those guys are not buying today.
Yeah, no, we're reaching out on, you know, on social media to groups where there's buyers. We're looking on the MLS for cash agents, all the usual stuff we usually do to source new buyers. With our existing buyers, we're reaching out to find out, hey, who's still buying right now? What are you looking for? What's your criteria? So we know, you know, what we should be looking for. You know, in some cases, I don't want to sign up a deal with a seller that I have no chance of selling right now, just because everything is shut down. Unless we can get some, you know, terms where, hey, this might settle this month, it might settle in 3 months, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Those terms that the seller's comfortable with, great. But otherwise, right, you know, we're staying away from iffy deals.
Yeah.
Yep. Understood. Is there anything that you're doing from a marketing perspective first of all, let me ask you a two-part question, then I'll kind of be quiet so Steve can ask any follow-ups. What do the conversations look like with your existing buyers, Matt? And then are you doing anything in particular from a marketing perspective to find new buyers?
So with our existing buyers, I'm just asking, hey man, how you doing? How are you guys holding up? You know, if it's someone who we have an assignment in place with and we're waiting to close and making sure that's all still good, you know, they're not, you know, so that I can try to figure something else out if it's not. With new buyers, we're just seeing what they're looking for, you know, just like anything else. We haven't changed our process of locating buyers. We've more changed our process of where and how we acquire properties so that we can, you know, make sure we don't make bad deals.
Sure. Okay. Matt, look, I know that you don't have a crystal ball. None of us do. But where do you see the market going here in the next 3, 6, 12 months or so? And what, if anything, are you guys doing to pivot or position yourself differently for what that might look like?
Yeah. So the traditional retail market here is really strong still. There's low inventory. The rates are low. So we're seeing a lot of people still wanting to get into properties. Mm-hmm. My wife, she has a separate company. She does flips and she just sold her most recent flip in just a few days. Mm-hmm. And is making a really good amount on it. So, mm-hmm. That part of the market is still pretty good. Mm-hmm. From the investment side, I think we're going to see a lot of, we're going to see a downturn more so in the rental property side. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of, you know, smaller time, landlords and investors, you know, with 10 properties or less, who are going to be getting killed by this, you know, who might be retired, who might be, you know, relying on that as a good portion of income, and they're going to want to liquidate because, you know, there's a third of tenants aren't paying rent right now. Yeah. So yep. If you have a property that you're relying on for income and all of a sudden that income's not coming in, you know, you're going to want to sell that. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be great deals to be had. I'm looking forward mm-hmm. to that. I mean, I feel bad that, you know, people yeah. are getting killed on the rentals, but it's going to create yeah. a lot of opportunity for us. Not just us in wholesale, but also my wife's company, those kind of things. And then I think commercial and retail is going to get killed. I mean, I just saw that, you know, Neiman Marcus, AMC Theaters, Virgin Airways, they're all struggling. You know, they're all saying they might declare bankruptcy. And that's just, you know, that's just now, you know, a lot of mom and pop wow. businesses, a lot of, you know, Main Street type companies are going to go under. You know, they think like up to 50% of family owned restaurants might not come back. So there's going to be this massive, massive influx of cheap commercial and retail properties if we don't reopen things soon. And so what we've done, Daryl and I have had a lot of conversations about that, and we're positioning ourselves to use our business model to exploit that as well. And mm-hmm. what that means is we're learning everything we can about commercial property. We've reached out to a lot of brokers to pick their brains, mm-hmm. Reading books so that we can, you know, wholesale commercial property as well. And maybe even, you know, find equity positions in these deals when this happens. So we're going to explore that while keeping our foot on the gas with our business. And we're lucky enough to have a acquisitions manager who, I feel really confident that if we decide to explore this commercial more and put more of our focus there, that he can take the reins of the residential business more so and kind of help run it in that time.
That's exciting.
It is very exciting. Let me ask you this, and I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm curious because sure. my guess is there's going to be some people that are thinking about this. You know, you have a really successful wholesale business. You guys crush by most people's standards, I would think. I know people use that word a lot, but I think you guys did pretty amazing. Obviously, COVID-19 hit us March 11th or so, and now you guys are exploring commercial, something that's not really your bread and butter, but that you guys see an opportunity there. What in your mind, Matt, is the balance between keeping your eye on the ball on what you know, like your bread and butter, what you know, what's good food on the table, and not being distracted versus being opportunistic and saying, hey, I think we can keep our eye on the wholesale business while still educate ourselves on the commercial side and potentially start to look for opportunities. I'm just kind of curious how you weigh those two out.
Yeah, I think, I kind of think that if you just sit and keep doing the same thing you've always been doing, you know, you're going to get the same results you've always been getting. And B, you know, it's hard to grow and scale and, you know, make more when you're not changing things up, you're not taking risks. So, you know, while we're absolutely going to keep our focus, you know, the main part of our focus on our business that exists and has been very successful, we are going to start to slowly, you know, give some bandwidth over to this commercial project so that we can, you know, learn more so we can be positioned when the time comes. But to me, you know, if you're not every once in a while risking everything, then you're not even, you know, what's even the point, you know, why are you alive? So, It's more fun that way.
It's funny, Matt. You know, after coaching you for almost a year now, you and Daryl, and I mean, you with your reply before Alex asked that question, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, man, this is like Matt is like dialed in, like Matt is like focused here, man. And I think, I'm grateful for that, man. That's wonderful, man. That's really good to hear that. I mean, because what I don't want other people on this live here today to hear is that, like, hey, look, everything's changed. So I should be running in 12 different directions and chasing bright, shiny objects. And I think that was what Pardo's asking right now, you know, and I think his question was in that vein. So I'm encouraged, man. I think what you're doing right now is fantastic. I love that you're kind of exploring something different, but you're not putting all your eggs in that basket. You're continuing to do what produced $1 million last year. And, you know, and you're making the small tweaks along the way that are necessary when a market shifts like this. So kudos to you, man.
We think, you know, and this is, you know, not to brag or toot my own horn or anything like that, but I really think that we're sales wise and acquisitions wise that we're the best company there is in this market. Like, I don't think if it's apples to apples, anyone can beat us to get a deal.
I believe that.
And I think, why can't, if that's the case, you know, the commercial market's much smaller. There's a lot less players. Why can't we do that there too? Mm-hmm. You know, why can't we?
Very cool.
Why can't we apply the same principles and kick everyone's ass there too?
Yeah, I'm throwing up a quick little banner for you because, Matt, dude, I'm concerned about you, man. So you've been in Ascend for almost a year now, and you know we've been pouring into you, man. And you got a lot of sharp people you rub elbows with in that room. Your confidence, dude, is really, really lacking.
Yeah, no, I should work on it. I mean, I mean, like for me, I always kind of look at it like, you know, what's even the point? You know, if you're not going to take risks, and you know, look, man, I've been broke as shit before, and I'm assuming that at some point, you know, I may be again. You know, who knows? So I'm hoping not. But if that's the case, man, I'm ready. Like, I'm not going to sit here and just, you know, eke by. Like, I've got that thing where no matter what it is, if it's a 6K, if it's 100, you know, 6-figure wholesale fee, or if it's, you know, a first commercial deal or anything like that, you know, that's cool. We can celebrate it for about 5 seconds, but then you're always thinking, hey, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? You know, how do we do, how do we do more? And I don't think that goes away. And so I'm, you know, I'm not really interested in just, you know, existing.
Yeah. And you know, what's pretty cool, Matt, and correct me if I'm wrong. Let me ask the question, not give a statement. To my knowledge, you're pretty, I hate to use the word balanced, right? Because sometimes I even go back and forth. Does balance even exist, or do we just go through seasons, right? So let me put that word balance aside for a second. On the personal side of things, your beautiful wife, Sandy, your family, I see you, at least from the outside looking in. I mean, obviously, I know we get together at a Ascend Mastermind retreats every 4 months, and we do our weekly mastermind calls and all that. But you seem to spend a lot of time with your family. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah. I spend a lot of time with my family. Yep. Especially
so, that's what I thought. And the reason I asked that question, guys, is because I'm hoping this shines a light on the fact that, like, in order to build a successful business and make a lot of money, A, you don't need a huge team. B, you don't need a lot of overhead. C, you don't have to be hustling your face off 18 hours a day. Yeah. Are there times, I'm sure, like the last 30 days, I've worked a lot. I've admitted that more than I'm used to. And I'm sure you have too. Yeah. But generally speaking, Matt's not somebody who's, you know, slaving and grinding away 16, 18 hour days, right?
No, man. If I'm putting in an 18 hour day, there's got to be some sort of big ass carrot at the end of that day that I'm chasing. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I try to, you know, right now, I do homeschool with my daughter. You know, I spend a ton of time outside. I've actually kind of enjoyed the quarantine because we've gotten like great family time. I think we're as close as we've ever been here. And so that's been really good. You know, we've enjoyed that, but you know, and there's, it just depends. You know, you just need to look at each situation and say, okay, do I need to grind on this today? Do I need to, you know, mm-hmm. down the hatches and work on this for a couple of days and then come back to my normal lifestyle? Or can I go spend some time, take an hour to run in the park with the kids? You know, just, it depends on each situation.
Yep. Yep. Love it. Well, guys, listen, we are about 48 minutes into this live. So what I'd like to do is I want to start answering some questions here within a few minutes. I have a question for Matt, but Steve, let me kick it over to you. Do you have anything that you want to ask Matt? Looks like right now we got roughly about 76 people, 77 watching this live right now. And so I want to make sure that we're answering. If you guys have questions, don't be shy. Please ask those questions. That's a big part of why we do this. It's not so much so that you guys can hear us talk, although obviously everybody's, you know, wanted to kind of get to know Matt, his business model, and how he's able to accomplish what he's doing. We want to answer your questions. And we look, honestly, we might not even have the answer, and we'll be flat out and tell you that, but we can come from a place of experience and what we're seeing and what we're doing. So any questions? I kind of see a few trickling in already. Let me just kind of allow a little bit of time for questions to come in. Matt, what are some of the things that you think people need to be doing right now? You know, so what is it? April 20th, right? And there's going to be people that listen to this on my podcast and on YouTube later on. Right now, how do people need to kind of position themselves in their business? Let's talk to somebody who maybe they're struggling, right? Because I know there's a lot of that going on out there. There's people struggling and they're having a hard time closing deals, etc. What's the advice that you have for those people? How do they need to start like making those small shifts, those small hinges that swing those big doors?
I think the first thing to ask someone who's struggling, like, was what you're doing now working before? You know, was what you're doing now working before? A lot of times, you know, this is a cyclical business, man. You know, there's peaks and valleys, and there always will be. You're never going to be riding that, you know, upward trajectory. It's, you know, it goes like this. you know, there's dips and there's peaks and valleys and dips and everything like that. So, you know, if you know your process works and you've been successful with it before, it's a matter of, you know, of putting your nose to the grindstone and just keep doing what you know works, what you know is going to get you deals, and those deals will come. You know, that's if your process works, those deals will come. Now, if your process wasn't working, if you're not getting anywhere, then I would say seek out, again, like we, you know, when we had some issues, we had some issues figuring out how to structure our business and everything like that. We talked about it, and I was actually talking to Steve about it, and he said, hey, well, you know, we're starting this coaching program for investors. You know, it's got to be successful people and stuff. I'd love for you to join, you know, but it was just perfect timing because we got in there. We joined a bunch of other people in Ascend, Steve and Alex and, you know, and all our peers in there. And, you know, from the first retreat, I still have it sitting here. I have a notebook, you know, a book full of notes and stuff like that I took. And we actually implemented stuff right away. So I'd say one of the big things is finding, you know, a community of people that you can work with, meetups, come to, you know, find mentors in groups like Ascend. And then also educate yourself. You can never, there's more books out there than you could ever read in 1,000 lifetimes. Find books that help you maximize those strengths.
So Matt, I'm glad you brought up meetups. Obviously, you and I met at the Southern Maryland Real Estate Investors Group, which is a group that I started and ran for 13 years. And then you came to me and said, Steve, I'm going to start a meetup of my own. So I gave you some advice to start that, but you have taken it and completely run with it. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to plug that group really quickly, if you'd like, and tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. Great. Yep. I appreciate it. Yeah. It's called the Real Deals Real Estate Investors Group. And I don't want anyone to forget about us because we haven't been able to meet in a couple months. But we meet in Largo, Maryland, traditionally the first Wednesday of every month. We've got over 1,000 members. Turnout's around 40, 50 people so far. We're not meeting in April or May, but we're hoping that, you know, maybe the restrictions are lifted. We can meet in June. We may have to adjust dates and things like that, but we're going to figure it out. And,
cool.
we're certainly not, you know, giving up on it by any means. Cool. There's too many people there already. Yeah. That's provided too much value. So we're, you know, full go on that.
Cool. Yeah. Q&A time.
Yeah, I would love to. There's quite a few questions that have come in here. So why don't we do this? Let's start with the top, right? The ones from like early on in the show.
Yeah. Let's do that. Before you do that, Alex, I want to highlight one very quickly. That's not a question, but it's a statement. And it just spoke to me. Patricia Ruitt says, I came in at the perfect time, right when you all were saying, believe in yourself and trust yourself. I need to have that confirmation right at this moment. Thank you. Yeah. That's pretty darn cool, man. I don't know what that's about for her necessarily, but that's pretty darn cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
That is. Yeah. Guys, actually, this is, I'm going to call an audible. And Steve, we didn't talk about this. However, Patricia, if you are still watching this, I don't know if there's a way for you to request to join this, or maybe I need to share a link with you. I'm not sure if it's even possible. Let me know, Patricia, if you're watching this, if there's a way for you to request to be a part of this. Maybe I can get you on here live and we can just help you in real time, because first of all, I want to acknowledge you and I appreciate you for sharing that. I think there's a lot of people that are feeling and thinking that, and obviously are just not putting it out there. So I really want to commend you for that. Number two, if there's a way I can get her on here, if you guys are up for
not, Alex, watching the video. I'm watching the video live on another browser, and there's not, but if you would have to, she would have to say, yes, please do, and then give you an email address, and you have to send her the link.
Yeah. So do me a favor, Patricia, why don't we do this? If you want to be a part of this, message me with your email and I can send you the link. I'll invite you and then we'll get you on here if you're up for it. If not, that's perfectly fine. But thanks for highlighting that. Patricia, if you're listening to this, shoot me a message with your email and then in the comment, let me know that you send it so I can look at my phone and I'll get you on here. All right, cool. So let me go back. Armando is in the house. Armando is a stud out of California. Great guy. Awesome business. He's also part of Ascend. Yeah. Another Ascender in the house. Yeah. So awesome. All right. We got a lot of people on here. Ron. All right. Let me get to a question here. What do we got? Hold on. I'm going down the line. Okay. We already answered Kia's questions. as far as the approach of working the leads.
Yep.
We answered that. She said, much appreciated. Anthony, so when we were talking about CRMs, Anthony made a comment that it's true what you said, Matt. Most of us don't even use, you know, everything that CRMs have.
They're dumb.
We already talked. Okay, so we actually have, dude, this might be a service for you, Matt, but we have like two or three people that are asking, number one, what areas do you work? Number two, if you're willing to work other areas.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, so we've discussed quite a bit, especially Florida markets, not to make anyone nervous or anything like that, but we've discussed other areas. We've put that on hold a little bit. You know, it's something that we're almost positive is going to happen. Okay. We put it on hold a little bit just because we're actually planning on maybe starting that in Q2, but it's on hold a little bit because of this Corona thing, and we don't want to put our eggs in another basket. We decided that focusing on learning commercial was a little more important at this moment. We have the processes and knowledge in place to move in other markets easily if we need to. So we focus more on the commercial aspect. But okay. Yeah, the answer, that's a roundabout way to answer. Yes, we are willing to work deals in other areas. It really just depends.
Well, it looks like you have an opportunity in Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I hate to say it, but I don't know if that would be a service to anyone. I don't know jack shit about Hawaii. I've never even been there.
But I'm saying your wife might like to move to the beach is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, my wife, I'm sure I would too. But I'm happy to give it a shot, but I don't know if it's, I mean, I'm sure there's someone out in Hawaii who could do the same thing I can do, who knows the market better than I do.
Brother, hold on. I gotta jump in here and interrupt you, man, because just like we would do in a Zen mastermind retreat, I'm going to challenge you. What you just said publicly, which I'm actually shocked, is a BS limiting belief. You don't have
to know totally right.
Anything about Hawaii.
I'm just trying to be fair to people here, man. Like I can, like, believe me, I think I can do deals anywhere. But if it's someone who needs help, you know, wholesaling in Hawaii, we could certainly help. But it's just such a different market. I don't want to put anyone in a position where, you know, we have to learn, or us ourselves, where we have to learn something like that, where they could be better served elsewhere.
I got to tell you, man, I love the focus, brother.
I would love to. Yeah. I would love to help. But Hawaii wouldn't even be on our radar for markets right now. Not because we wouldn't want to work in Hawaii, just because it's, you know, we're looking continental U.S., growth markets, those kind of things.
Yeah. Check the out. Chris Mayfield. Matt, I don't know if this has been discussed, but are you thinking of working old leads outside of your market?
Yes, so. We are. Yeah, we are. We definitely are thinking of it. We're going to be selective with the markets just because we don't want to. We're going to start, you know, one at a time. It won't be multiple markets. It's more than likely that it will be in Florida. Because we both have, you know, a lot of connections there, and infrastructure in place.
Matt, this is a question. Somebody was sharing with me a business idea or some sort of pivot the other day. And I simply asked them a very simple question. I said, give me an idea. Tell me at what point, at what metric, at what KPI will you decide that no longer works and you'll shut that off and go back to your core operation. So do you have something like that in mind? In other words, you know, if you do this for 6 months and it doesn't make X amount or you don't get X number of transactions, then we're going to go ahead and shut that down and then come back to the core business.
Yeah, I am. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I think that, you know, I don't think it'd be, so if we were to move into another market, I'd want to see results, you know, month one. I'd want to see at least a deal or two, under contract and assigned in month, in the first full 30 days there.
I think it's still wise. I mean,
then we don't know enough about the market. We need to get out.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of talking about writing the business plan for that. And then look, if it doesn't work out, then we're going to go right back. And that's where a lot of people get themselves spread too thin is when they don't have that business plan in place. So that's smart.
That's one thing I would say to people is be ruthless about getting rid of things that don't serve you. And you know, unfortunately that includes people, includes processes, systems. You know, a lot of people are stuck in the, you know, in the traction or the Six Sigma business models because those are the popular books that everyone's read. But I know, Alex, I know you like them and stuff too, but I like some of the stuff, but I'm not married to anything. I like to go a lot more on intuition. Like, hey, does this feel like it's working? Am I making deals? You know, when we talk to people, are we getting places or does it seem like we're out of our league? So I try to, you know, mix all those things together.
Great.
By the way, one thing I want to highlight, kind of going back to like, do you work other markets? Guys, that's the power of being in a community, being a part of the right mastermind, is there's already deals being taken place inside of Ascend. Yep. Steve and the two guys that are on here with me right now are a perfect example of how they've made some money together. There was recently a couple lending deals within Ascend. So that's the power of your network and your community and collaborating, and like, it's all within there. So just want to highlight that.
Let me share something with you. I just found out that two of our Ascend members partnered on a self-storage facility this afternoon.
Dude, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I really? Just found it out. Yeah, man. Yeah,
I love it. I love it.
All right. So let's get some more questions here. Guys, we have probably another 5-6 questions that I can tell here. Any questions you guys have, fire away. Now's the time. Josh Bacon, another Ascender who's been in the room with us. Matt's a rock star. Alex and Steve, ask Matt to share one golden nugget you use in the living room when negotiating the deal. Give the people what they want.
Okay. Yeah. When I'm negotiating a deal, I think the most important thing for me is I never try to, and this is a whole, this isn't just sitting in the living room. This is for the whole deal. I never try to make myself seem like the bank or like an agent or something like that. You know, someone who is, you know, someone who's coming to take something from you or someone who's coming to get something over on you. Self-deprecation is a great tool. You know, you obviously don't want to come to sell and say, hey, look, I'm an idiot and I'm going to buy your house. But at the same time, you definitely don't want to make them feel like you're above them or you're smarter than they are. Because then they just won't be comfortable with you. They won't trust you with this gigantic transaction. So, you know, I always try to be the common man and try to make sure that, you know, everyone knows that, hey, look, I'm just a regular guy. I'm going to buy your house. I'm going to do right by you. And if for some reason I can't, I'm going to let you know I'm going to be upfront. You know, that goes a long way with people. Another thing I'd say is, you know, don't, for God's sakes, don't have scripts for appointments. If you have scripts for appointments, you're fucked. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's never, you're going to sound like a robot. It's never going to come out right. I hate scripts. So I would say no scripts, no scripted process. Go with each situation is different, right? You know, we're all adults, we're human beings, we have rational thought capabilities. We can look at a situation individually and work with that situation instead of following, you know, script. Here's what you do no matter what. You know, that doesn't work.
Matt,
sorry,
that's great. One of the questions I recently asked you, I think is very valuable for everybody on this live to hear, is how are you addressing in your initial calls with sellers the coronavirus and the concerns around going to people's houses and just how are you addressing it?
So we're going, I'm telling everyone I'm coming to your house with a mask on, which is good for them because they won't hear me running my mouth as much. I'm coming with a mask with gloves and I'll bring in a wipe. You know, I'll have one of those Clorox wipes and I'll touch everything with that. Like we'll do whatever you need us to do. You know what I mean? It's your house. It's your property. You know, there is no wrong answer. If you want me to put on a biohazard suit, I'm going to put on a fucking biohazard suit and come into your house. You know, it's, you know, we're going to do what we need to do to make the deal.
But you address it in a very humorous way at the beginning of the call, right?
Yeah, I don't make it seriously. Like, hey, look, we've all been tested.
Yeah.
right. Here, you know, we're being very careful just in case I do this so I won't spread coronavirus.
Right.
I don't talk about it. Look, you know, I get it. And I think the sentiment on coronavirus is kind of turning a little bit from, you know, oh, there's danger to, oh, this is an egregious inconvenience. So that, you know, I think the sentiment there is turning quite a bit.
Yep.
So that's been helpful.
Let me address something. Look, sometimes on these lives, we're not always going to agree. And I think that's perfectly fine. Right. And I think sometimes it's kind of a healthy debate. Yeah. Let me present a different perspective. You know, Matt was like, I hate scripts. I think he said, I hate effing scripts, right? Like, I don't like scripts. And so Matt needs to keep doing what Matt does and Alex is that, because they're doing awesome, right? So like, don't change a thing. My perspective is I like process. I like system. I like structure. So I like my team to have a script. Now here's the caveat. An unrehearsed script is what makes you sound robotic. Yeah. When you know your script up and I know my script, you and I can like go through it and I'm not going to sound robotic because I know the script and I'm using my words. So that's the caveat. I don't agree with scripts suck. Don't use scripts. However, if you're going to have a script, then you're going to sound okay, Mr. Seller. Now, how many beds? That's when you should scrap the script. They're not rehearsed.
That's fair enough. Yeah. I think that scripts are a useful training tool. I don't think they should be used in real life. But I mean, like you said, you know, we agree and disagree on this one. Everyone's process is different. So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, I can see where they can be valuable too, especially as a training tool. And And just one other point I had about this Corona thing is, and I posted something about this on Facebook yesterday, is like, you know, I told a seller, I'm like, how long are you going to let fear control what you're doing? You know, are we really that afraid of death? I'm like, what was it? Was it Patrick Henry? He said, you know, is peace so sweet and, or is life so sweet and peace so, you know, great that, you know, it's to be purchased at the chains and whips of slavery, you know, forbid it, God, you know, give me liberty or give me death. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I mean, I tell people all the time, like, hey, how, especially when people are afraid of things, like, hey, seems like, you know, this is a tough situation for you. It seems like, you know, you're really afraid that this might go, that this deal could go wrong. You want to tell me about that? Because I think fear is a prevailing factor in our business right now. Fear of this virus, fear of getting a bad deal, fear of going under. And like, really, I mean, how much is everyone going to let fear control them? Like, you know, that's something that hasn't happened, you know?
Right.
So yeah. I think one thing is for everyone can do is, you know, every time you hear that fear, you know, maybe take its advice a little bit, but then tell it to shut up and move on with your life.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, buy me like a minute. I'm trying to find something on my phone. Oh, here it is. So Pitbull was on. So the news is, if you guys, Steve knows this, but the news is almost like forbidden in my household. Like if the news is on for 60 seconds, it's a long time, right? Yeah. It's just for me, nothing positive comes from it. Yeah. However, the news was on last week for whatever reason. I don't know why it was. I went downstairs to grab lunch and Pitbull was on the news and he was talking about this new song apparently that he made, which been heard yet, and he said and the reporter asked Pitbull about fear. You know, people are very fearful right now with COVID, and he said two things. He said, fear, you can either attach yourself to fear, and the acronym he used was forget everything and run, which I had never heard of that one. And then he said, or you can face everything and rise. And I love that. So guys, think of fear. The one I've always heard was false evidence appearing real.
Right. Yeah.
Pitbull said you can either forget everything and run, or you can face everything and rise. Absolutely love that.
Wow.
Yeah. Agreed.
So
never thought I'd agree with Pitbull, but I agree.
Wait a second. You mean that? Never mind. I'm not even going to go.
Actually, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, that seems like your jam, buddy.
Hey, dude, Pitbull's a Miami guy. He's Cuban. Yeah, I'm from Miami. Yeah. What are you trying to say, dude? What are you trying to say?
Yeah, no, I don't know any Pitbull songs, unfortunately. I'll have to listen up a little bit.
Oh, man. Matt, dude, I got to work on you, man. I got to help you out, man. All right.
Yeah.
Let me see here. More questions. Manly, how can we get into the commercial space if we're just beginning wholesaling? Great question.
That is a great question. I wish I could help you because I'm trying to figure that out myself. You know, what's the best way to get into the commercial space? So I wish I had good advice. My advice would be to reach out to, you know, good commercial brokers, you know, talk to them about it, get some literature on it, read up on it, do research on your own and kind of learn the, you know, and of course, the biggest thing would be find a mentor who knows it and see how you can provide value to them.
Great. The only thing I'll add to that, Manly, is pick a direction and go. If you're trying to wholesale and you're trying to learn commercial, that's a tough one, man. I'm guessing you're going to agree with me. I would not attack both at the same time.
No.
Focus on one and run. Matt's in a little bit of a different place. He's got an established business. He's got a team behind him. So that's a little bit different, Manly. Hopefully that answers your question. Steve, while I'm looking for the next question, if you have anything, jump in. Actually, Steve, let me call you out for a second, dude.
Uh-oh. I'm not. No, that's you.
Ah, come on, man. Hold on, guys. If you want me to role play with Matt, just type it in the chat box. If you want Steve, who clearly doesn't want to do it, if you want Steve to role play with Matt, type it in the chat box. We'll let the live.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to do it, Alex.
You would probably be more valuable for that if we could provide, like, I don't know, maybe later today, tomorrow, if we could provide like a recording of one of our conversations. I have to go back and see if I could find one from where we, you know, actually made the deal. Or, you know, shit, I mean, I don't care. I could get on the phone. I mean, I could get on the phone with someone at another time and you can listen to it live. I don't care at all. Role play is a useful tool, but it always, you know, it's kind of, sometimes it's not the real thing.
It's always, I've never been able to do it. Never. I mean, I've tried it and I've just never been able to.
It makes me feel like I'm never nervous for 1 second calling sellers, but I'm always nervous before I role play.
Right.
Yeah.
Alex and Manly is very good at it though.
I said Alex evidently is very good at it.
Hey man, if you're trying to get me, I can reverse this back on you. All right. So some people already started putting in Steve.
I'm sure they did.
Oh boy.
Be careful. All right, guys. Let's keep it moving here. Natalie Thomas. You guys want to read this one? It's a long one, but it looks like a good one. I closed 10 deals, but I have a problem finding deals consistently, also delivering offers to sellers and knowing we're not going to close on it. Any advice on how to explain what we plan to do with the... Okay, so I think the way I'm reading this is it's a two or a three-part question.
Right.
Number one, any mentors you guys recommend for wholesaling? Steve, let me kick that one over to you or to...
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, within Ascend, we're dealing with folks who already have established businesses and things of that nature. So we are a different type of mentor here within Ascend. But I would say, man, there's a ton of really good podcasts out there for wholesaling. I would say Flip Empire would be one of them. Alex's podcast. I think also Tom Kroll does a very good job with his Wholesaling Inc. You know, very, very 101 type of wholesaling info out there. Matt, how did you learn, man? What would you say is a good way to learn wholesaling?
I got a crash course kind of. Well, actually, that's not true. You know, I got a crash course in going out to look at properties and buy properties and stuff like that when I worked at Express. Mm-hmm. But we were wholesaling when I started there. It was a flip operation. We created the wholesale business there. So I kind of had to, myself and a friend of mine, Tom, we had to create that from scratch. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I would say go to meetups. You're going to see a lot of wholesalers at meetups. Wholesaling is a big time topic at meetups. You know, people, you feel free if you're in the area, Natalie, I have no idea where you are, but if you're in the DC area, you feel free to come to our meetup, join the Real Deals Real Estate Investors Group. If not, you can go to meetup.com, a lot of other places, and find, you know, Facebook groups and find good meetups where you can interact with the people that you're looking to meet.
Now, Natalie, as far as you're closing 10 deals, but I have a problem finding deals consistently, that's a marketing problem.
Yeah.
That's a marketing problem. So consistency in marketing equals consistency in deal flow. Alex can probably talk to you about that even more. Do you guys have anything to comment on that?
No, I would say that, you know, that's true. You know, if you have to be doing the same thing over and over again consistently in order to get, you know, feedback and to get deals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a deep, deep rabbit hole, Natalie. One thing I'll ask you is if you're struggling with consistent deal, I would ask you, look back 30, 60 days at your efforts and your marketing efforts. How many, whatever your marketing channel is, how much of it did you do? Were you consistent to Steve's point? How many appointments did you go on? How many offers did you send? The KPIs should tell the health of the business. So if you're struggling today, look back 30, 60, 90 days. Look at your activity then, because it's going to have an impact. And obviously the efforts that you're doing today is going to impact 30, 60, 90 days in the future. So that would be probably the first thing without having more details. That would be the first thing that I would advise.
Natalie's in Cleveland, she says.
Cleveland. By the way, Natalie, I am buying properties in Cleveland. So hit me up. Shoot me a message. Okay.
There you go.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Armando, hola, señores. Right back at you, my friend. Let me see, Matt. Matt, where does owning real estate fit into the revised timeline and goals now, or does it?
I would say owning real estate definitely fits into my, you know, my vision, for myself and for the company. You know, because there's, you know, we can wholesale forever, but you know, that's you know, not passive income, right? That's active income. We're going to get deals under contract. We're selling them. You know, so that's part of the reason why we're looking into the commercial space as well. We're gonna, you know, try to wholesale commercial. We're gonna look to, you know, take equity positions in some deals, maybe syndicate some. You know, we're really trying to figure it out. But that's part of the reason we want to have, you know, equity positions. We want to have passive income down the road. I don't think we're single family rental property investors. I just, you know, that's neither mine nor Daryl's strong suit is dealing with those kind of things. And it'd be a while before we could get a property manager. So I don't think we're going to focus on that now. I think it's more multifamily and commercial for ownership wise.
Yep. Great question. By the way, Ron is a buddy of mine here in Miami. Thanks, Jess. Incredible insight. Appreciate you, Ron. I'm glad it's helping, brother. Gennard Hodges. Apparently Gennard knows Natalie. I've seen Natalie in the Facebook wholesale group. So Natalie is active. I love it.
There you go.
Good. Thanks for sharing that. Natalie says she's in Cleveland. Let me see here. All right, let me circle back here. Guys, again, as we start to kind of wind down here, maybe in the next 5 to 15 minutes, depending on how many more questions, now's your time to get that in. Plenty of questions still to choose from. Matt, here.
Favorite sales book, Matt?
Favorite sales book, Never Split the Difference.
Okay, good one. Good one. Okay.
Mr. Chris Voss, right?
Yeah, man. That was good, yeah. Man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that is good stuff.
Yeah, speaking of people who can negotiate better than me, put Chris Voss on the top of that list there. I'm sure he'd run circles around my ass.
Yeah.
I'd love to get Chris Voss on the podcast, man. I got to see how I can make that happen.
Oh, man, I'd love to.
All right, cool. So, Steve, did you have something else to chime in before I bring up the next question?
No, go for it.
Okay, Keith. Is that Keith? Yeah, I'm just starting out with wholesaling and or doing lease option deals. What is the best way to generate seller leads?
Ooh. I think we're all going to probably have, you know, varying opinions on that. I would say, you know, for me, the cheapest way is to, you know, find someone else like we talked about that you can partner with and work their leads. That's the cheapest way. And oftentimes you get good qualified leads that you just need to do a little more work on. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, if you're looking to pay for leads, I would ask Alex and Steve. It's not necessarily my area of expertise. The only other thing we really do is we purchase lists from a list provider, skip trace them, and text and call them. So if it's beyond that, and that's been effective for us, believe it or not. So if it's beyond that, I would leave that to Steve and Alex.
Yeah. So guys, one thing I'll add as far as, look, whatever marketing channel you choose, and we lost Steve right now. I guess he didn't like what I was about to share about marketing, but I'm sure he'll hop right back on here. I'm kidding. Whatever marketing channel you decide to go with, here's what I would say. We just talked about this. Number one, make sure there he is. All right, there he is. No problem. You're good. Number one, make sure that you're consistent. Consistency is key, whatever the marketing channel. I see too many people scratching the surface with different marketing channels and they're not going deep enough. In my opinion, better go an inch wide and a mile deep than start scratching the surface on all these different marketing channels. Your budget is going to dictate a lot of this. If you don't have a marketing budget, I'm a big fan of what I call joint venture marketing partnerships, where you can find somebody in your market or outside of your market that has cash. They can deploy it towards the marketing, generate the leads. You provide the sweat equity, you work the leads, and then you can split the deals 50-50 or whatever that may look like. I like Matt's approach even better because people have already paid for the marketing and the leads are already there. I'm a fan of text message marketing, although that's becoming a little bit more challenging. Direct mail has always been our bread and butter, although that's a very noisy channel to cut through the clutter. So I would recommend working a niche list if you're going to do direct mail. And then I would stack it. So not just stack your list, but what I mean is if you have a list, hit it with direct mail, hit it with SMS, call it. So you want to work it from multiple angles. Okay. Hopefully that answers your question. Let me see. Guys, in the meantime, one thing I want to share. Look, this isn't a commercial for Ascend. However, Steve and I, and obviously I think Matt would attest to it, we're extremely passionate about what we have put together with Ascend. The quality of the individuals, you guys have just gotten a small taste between Matt Fullerton today. His partner, Daryl, is an absolute beast, too. Don't sleep on Daryl. He's just shy. You guys don't even know. Daryl's a beast. So
he's a silent killer, man.
He is silent assassin for real. Yeah. Armando, you know, Josh. I mean, there's the people. Again, this isn't a commercial about Ascend, but I'll put our group up against many group, if not any group. The quality of the people, and this is a group that just doesn't focus on business, but we start first with life and a vision for your life, and then we help you design a business to achieve that lifestyle. So it's a hybrid mastermind and coaching group. A lot of people have been sending in some questions about that. So if you guys want to head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, it's not a sales call, honestly. It's just to hop on with Steve and I and answer some questions. We'll have some questions for you and see if it's even a fit. Again, no decisions are even made on that call. So again, guys, this isn't so much, I didn't want to make this a plug about Ascend, but I have some people that have reached out to me recently. Matt, you have any, you've been in the room, you know, not just our weekly mastermind calls, but you've been in our, you know, retreats. Anything to add from your perspective? And again, dude, don't just share, like, I don't want this to be, hey, you know, guys, go check out Ascend, but like, what's your honest opinion? What have you gotten out of it as far as what that being in that room is like and what the quality of people we have in there?
Yeah, I think the value of other perspectives. Who was it? It was one of those early Apple engineers, you know, genius guy who said, you know, change of perspective is worth 80 IQ points. Mm. So I think it was Alan Kay. Change of perspective is worth 80 IQ points. So, you know, just looking at having other people in the room who might look at something from a different perspective than you do. I think that's incredibly valuable. You know, people who have knowledge in your field, but look at it a different way. I mean, there's been, you know, you can ask Daryl, I'll get onto something and be like, this is what we're doing this. And then I hear something, then someone says something, I'm like, wait a minute, now it kind of seems dumb to do that, you know, because this, so I think it's important to, you know, have input from your peers, no matter what. It is important to believe in yourself, but also to, you know, make sure you're not drinking your own Kool-Aid too much, which I have been guilty of before. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who are even more successful than me in a sense, smart people, all different personality types, all different walks of life. So there's something for everybody. Yeah, I find it really valuable just to, you know, be able to talk through issues, face to face with a group where there's multiple different perspectives thrown around, because I think the best way to achieve a solid result is to have, you know, a little bit of fighting. You know, I think it's important for people to tell you that, no, I don't like that idea, that doesn't sound right, and go back and forth and, you know, defend yourself and defend your idea and figure out, you know, hey, is this going to work? You know, I certainly wouldn't call it an adversarial situation, but it's a very honest situation, and it only brings out the best in people.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Agreed.
Hey, Alex, just so you know, I'm getting some questions on my personal page that are not on the
box. Fire away.
So if you want me, I'll go ahead. I'll start with a serious one, then I've got a fun one. Matt, a question for Matt. Do you require the leads to be unique? Meaning, what if you've seen a certain property address before?
So that's one of the first things we do is look through the list and see if there's anyone we already have. And if we do, I'll let people know. Say, hey, and then same thing, if something comes in organically to us or even from another source, you know, I'll let everyone know, hey, this came in, we have this already. So it's probably something we don't want to work together on, or we need to figure out, you know, how we're going to work together on it right off the bat.
Okay, cool. Another question. This is from Billy Fitzgerald. You know Billy Fitzgerald, right?
I do.
Okay. He says, do you keep the good deals for the wife to flip, or, and do you work with your wife on the flips?
Oh, man. So first, question one, do I keep the good deals for my wife to flip? So my wife likes to flip in pretty specific areas.
Okay.
She likes Chesapeake Beach and North Beach. Mm-hmm. So those deals I usually acquire outside of the business, just because I usually acquire outside of the business. If I do get a deal in the business that is something she really wants, she's going to have to pay for it. I mean, that's it is what it is. We've talked about that before. I'm saying, look, you're going to have to pay for it. You know, this is a business. I've got partners and stuff. You know, I wouldn't expect you to sell me a house for no commission, you know, on your end. So,
you guys are brutally cutthroat.
If she brings me a buyer that I don't know, I'll pay her commission just like anyone else. You know what I mean? It's a separate thing. It's a business. But so, I actually just got a deal that is actually fit for her. A friend of ours who actually comes to our meetup, she called me and said, hey, I have this deal I just closed on. I had to empty my 401k though, because the lender backed out at the last second and she had a big deposit. So she had this deal, she paid cash for it, but then this Corona thing's happened. She's like, look, I don't want to have all this cash out. You know, I have all my cash is gone and I'm nervous about it. So she told me a price, and the price was fair. So I didn't even negotiate with her. We went and looked at it. It looked like a great deal. She called and said, hey, I think this would be a great flip for Sandy, cause I know she likes it over here. We went and looked at it. Sandy put it under contract. I mean, it's a fantastic deal. It's a great house. I think we're gonna close this week on it, but I have, other than acquiring properties, I have zero involvement whatsoever. It's funny cause I'm the CEO of my company, but I'm like the sign bitch at her company. You know, I go put the signs up, and if like a mirror needs to be hung or something, I had to install toilet paper or paper towel rolls and toilet paper holders and mirrors at her last flip at the, you know, right before I went on the market. So yeah, I do the grunt work for her business. And
Hold on, dude. You charge your wife to acquire your deals. Don't you think she's going to make you work when it comes to hers?
Sure. Yeah. I don't blame her one bit. And she's,
there you go.
And she's, that's her business. You know, that's her baby. I don't argue with contractors for her. I don't do anything like that. She's 100% in control. I just get the deals for her and then she takes it from there. She sells them. I don't have anything to do with that either.
Perfect. Okay, great. Thank you. Alex, you have another one?
There's plenty of questions that are here. Let me hop. Rachel's got a really good question. Thanks for the question, Rachel. Matt, what are your KPIs? How many calls to appointments? Matt, before you answer that question, let me, what's the word I'm looking for? Let me frame the question around this. Yeah. Keep in mind, Rachel, and I'm sure, you know, you probably know this, but Matt's KPIs, I'm not sure where you are. Do you know Rachel, Matt?
Yeah, Rachel, and Rachel is one of the people who we work leads for. We've done a lot of deals with Rachel, yep.
Then I'll shut up, because what I was about to say is for the people that are not in the DMV area, Matt's KPIs may look very different than yours. So don't put so much weight into that because there's so many variables at play. And the truth of the matter is, guys, is that your KPIs are really the ones you should focus on. It's a great question, especially because she's in Matt's area and you guys are already working together. So go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, Rachel and her husband Jay, they do awesome rehabs in DC, man. You should see in Virginia, you should see some of these houses. They're really cool. But anyway, that being said, this may sound like sacrilege to some of you guys, but we don't have like KPIs that are, we don't have, you know, KPIs that are written down that we're following, you know, like I said, I'm not big on that traction shit. Our main KPI is we follow up with people until they buy or die. So either they've sold, sold the house, you know, we're aggressive with follow-up. We stay on people. You know, Rachel can look on her sheet right now. She'll see some of those leads with like 100 calls, you know, that's Carl started in January and they've been going since then. So, and I leave messages for people that say things like, look, I'll stop calling you. All you have to do is call me back and tell me no. That's all you have to do. You just, but you know, you don't get the soft out. You don't get to just hide behind your phone. You have to tell me.
Yeah. So what's interesting that I want to kind of throw in there, it's impressive, dude, the business that you and Daryl have gone about building, and you don't really even look and track KPIs. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. The second thing is keep in mind cash, right? Keep in mind, the one thing I will say as far as KPIs is if you're spending money, if you're deploying dollars at marketing channels, you want to know the KPIs, because then you, how do you know whether to keep throwing money at? Matt's different. Matt's really not paying for much marketing. I mean, he's working other people's leads, and so it's a little bit different. But if you're paying for marketing, I highly recommend you know your numbers.
And the other thing, for calls to appointments to deal ratio, we have so many sources with so many different so many different qualities that it's really hard to pin that down company wide. I think our closing percentage on appointments is somewhere like, it's in the 40s. I can't remember what exactly. I'll ask Daryl what exactly it is. He's got the trackers for that stuff.
Gotcha.
Appointment to contract in the 40s?
Yeah.
Crushing.
In the 40s. That being said, like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm some sort of god going out there. Like, we only go on appointments that are worthwhile. Like, if someone, you know, we don't go on appointments that just have equity. We don't go on appointments that just have we go on appointments with pain and equity. And we make sure that people are within a range that they're, we tell them, hey, look, we're going to be somewhere in the low to mid 300s with an offer. Is that worth talking about with you? Yes, it is. Great. But no, it's not. I need to be at least 400. And if I know we're not going to be anywhere close to there, I mean, is it worth my time to drive an hour, look at the house, try to negotiate them down 100 grand? They won't come down. They're mad at me for coming out and doing it. I drive back, and then there's a bunch of leads that I didn't call.
Right.
And now I follow up with it. I've already talked to someone else. So
I love it.
That's a big thing for us. We only go on good appointments, man. We don't.
That's the way I've always done it.
Yeah. Well, guys, by the way, I just want to, I want to thank you guys watching this. We're 70 plus strong and we're an hour and a half into this. So I hope that means we're delivering some value here. So thank you guys. I say this on my podcast all the time, and I think it's worth repeating. Steve and I and Matt, we don't take this lightly. Obviously this takes time to put together, and we do it because we genuinely want to help. And so really appreciate you guys just being with us. I want to share that. So Rashida, to that end, yes, this is actually going to be published on the Flip Empire Show. I'm ahead of schedule, so probably a couple of months down the road, believe it or not. But this will be on my Facebook page, or if you're a part of the Flip Empire Facebook group, it'll be posted on there. Actually, we're streaming live on those groups right now and on my page. So, and it's also going to be on my YouTube, youtube.com/AlexPardo. All right, what do we got here? Matt, I want to be respectful of your time. You two, Cav, are you guys good for maybe another 10 minutes or so?
Sure. Yeah, 10 minutes. Yeah, sure.
You good? Okay, beautiful. Because we do got some.
I'm actually good for another 19 minutes.
Very good. Very good. Oh, all right. 420. You have to go 420?
Yeah. Okay. I got some pending or some commitments that I have to meet.
All right, Peter. Appreciate the love, Peter.
What's going on your podcast?
Hey, it's all good. I just got to mark this thing as
no, man. You knew what you were getting into.
So you want to know a funny story? About a year ago, this was our first master mission, Steve. I was in Guatemala. Do you remember the mission I was on when we were in Tigua, Guatemala? The first master mission. You probably don't remember. You remember when, like, one day I looked a little like kind of dejected, and I don't usually get dejected. I'm pretty positive, but I was like, and you're like, what happened? I'm like, dude, I just got an email from, at the time, I think it was called Apple. It was iTunes from Apple. And they're like, they suspended your show. And yes, I'm like, what the? Mm-hmm. Like, so that's like, Apple's like the big platform.
Yep.
Hold on. I'm getting feedback, guys. Can you hear that?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that. Anyways, Apple's the big platform, and I got suspended. And so after like 2 weeks, my show was off the grid, which sucked. I had to do a bunch of digging and research. It's because somebody used the word ass on one of my episodes and I didn't tag it as explicit. Mm. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So now whenever like somebody curses, I see the aha emojis popping up. So now I don't care if you curse, be you. I just have to remember to tell my team to mark it as explicit, or I could potentially get flagged.
Just mark it as explicit, man. I'm a caveman. I can barely communicate without saying cuss words. So.
All right, guys. So Joshua Heckle.
Let's talk trash about him while he's gone.
especially because he didn't want to role play. All right. Joshua's got a good question. There he is.
Hey, one of these days, I'll learn how to use this thing.
Listen, three strikes and you're out, dude.
I had to start.
I'm kidding. Matt,
19 minutes early.
Do you pay cold callers? If so, how much? Are they like partners too?
So we don't have cold callers. Either we cold call directly, or our the biggest thing we actually do now is text. We like to use text as much. See, there's a much better looking guy in that corner of the screen over there now. Good thing we got.
That's little. Look at, he looks exactly way like better, his father. That's
way better.
Oh, that's man. Little cat right there.
Yeah. Now we're back. Okay. Well, yeah. No, we so we don't have cold callers. And a lot of cold callers, what I would recommend is getting a lot of people use VAs, virtual assistants for cold calling, and you know they can be from anywhere. You can use sites like Upwork. We used one called Mod at one point where their VAs were from the Philippines. You know, it really just depends on what you're looking for. But I mean, it can go from anywhere from $5 to, you know, $25 an hour, depending on quality of the caller. But we have an assistant who sends a lot of texts for us, and we personally do cold calls ourselves.
Okay. Guys, I'm going to go with three more questions. There's two on here. So I'm going to take one more in addition to that. Steve, I don't know if you have any questions on your end, but so we can wrap this up in the next 5-7 minutes. Let me just get one of the questions on here if I can find it.
I don't see any others.
Sorry, guys. There's a lot of questions. All right. Here's a question. Kennard, how do you guys approach tax liens? Example, ARV after a pair value is 100K, 30 to 40,000 in tax liens. Would you bother?
I wouldn't on that deal. That's not a deal. I mean, we stay away from things with ARVs less than 150 usually, just because in a lot of those cases, the repairs exceed the, you know, they exceed the profit. They exceed the, in some cases, they exceed the ARV.
Right.
So we stay away from stuff with an ARV less than 150. It's just too tight. There's no money. Unless you're going to put some real quick lips, unless it's in great shape, you're going to put quick lipstick on and rent it out. I mean, and that's not what we do. So we don't touch that.
Okay.
I would answer that by saying it depends. Right. It depends on a lot of factors. Your market is probably different than Matt's, unless you happen to be in the DMV area as well. But let me ask you this. If the after repair is 100K and the property needs 10K in repairs and they're willing to sell it for the tax liens, would you take it over then?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's 100K property needs 10K in repairs, I mean, we're just in an area where 10K in repairs doesn't exist. You know, that's
right. I get
that, it. That's doing a bathroom, you know? Yeah. So it's a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. But Gennard, hopefully that answers your question.
I think it's so important to just highlight again how dialed in Matt is. I mean, listen to him. He's a hit part of his criteria. And I hope everybody gets this. Yeah. Is that he's saying, look, I won't look at stuff with ARV of less than 150K. Like, everyone has to have those types of parameters built in in order to run a systematic business. Like if you're trying to chase after everything, you know, then that's where people get spread too thin and they're just not able to make any progress. So it's some of the intangibles and some of the things that Matt's saying today that makes him such a good businessman and makes him such a great operator. And I hope that that's resounding with people and resonating with people.
Great point.
Appreciate absolutely that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, man. All right, guys, let me see here. Two more questions and we're going to end the show on this. Again, guys, really, really appreciate you taking the time to join us. This will be available on the Flip Empire show. And it's also going to be on Steve's Facebook page, my Facebook page, Flip Empire, and the Southern Real Estate, Southern Maryland Real Estate Investors Group Facebook page.
And Real Deals too, I think.
It may or may not be on there. Okay. I'm not sure. Rashad, let me see. What's your main marketing stream and how do you feel about PPC and Facebook marketing?
Yeah, that's pretty much, we've covered that a couple times. I would say our main marketing stream is still, is getting leads from other investors and working them and splitting the profits. PPC I've found are good leads, but they're expensive leads. So, you know, you spend a couple $100 per lead. So you got to have cash, you know, and it takes a while to work leads. So you got to be able to spend the money. Facebook, everything I do on Facebook is totally organic. I just post it on there. I don't boost it or anything like that. And then I'll share it on my personal page, just try to build up some awareness. So I couldn't give you metrics on that because I just haven't spent the money.
Rashad, what I would say is, I don't know if you caught the Facebook Live I did with Chris Chico on Thursday. If you didn't, head over to youtube.com/Alex Pardo. It's on there. He talked all about national wholesaling and Facebook marketing and is even giving away his top digital bandit signs, basically his Facebook ads. If you guys go to flipempire.com/Chico, you guys can grab that. So
that's awesome.
That's a valuable resource for you guys, and it's 100% free. Dude, Gennard, man, my dude, Gennard, my headphones went out as soon as you began to answer. So sorry about that, man. Yeah, just catch the replay. You know where to find it. Last question of the day. How many hours daily do you spend on the phone cold calling?
I don't really spend a lot of time cold calling. I'd say less than an hour a day because it's not usually something that we need to do. We send texts first typically, you know, because it's easy for people. A lot of people don't want to get on the phone with a stranger, right? They don't want to talk to someone who's calling to try to negotiate for their house. That's not a comfortable situation. People want to be comfortable. So what we found is a lot of people like to, you know, sit behind their phone and type because then there's that layer of separation. There's
right
that comfortability. So,
right.
So I spend most of my day calling people that have confirmed that they are interested in selling. And that's all we need is someone to say, yeah, I'd be interested in talking. I call those people. So I'd say I spend 6-7 hours. You know, sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. It depends on the day.
Awesome. Well, look, folks, I hope that you guys have enjoyed this today. Matt has just provided us with a tremendous amount of value. And this is just a small sliver of what it looks like to be in a room with Matt and the other Ascend members. So if you have any interest at all, please do yourself a favor. Go over to ascendyoursuccess.com, ascendyoursuccess.com, right below my square chin here on the screen. You can see the website. And just fill out the form, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then Alex and I will be in touch with you. We'd love to speak with each and every one of you guys out there just to see what you're doing right now and see how we may or may not be able to help you, and we'll go from there.
Yep. Matt, any parting words?
No, man, I think we've covered it all. I appreciate everyone coming out to listen to me run my mouth. If people have questions or want help or anything like that, and I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. And guys, again, we do this for you guys. And so really appreciate it, Brett. Appreciate the love, my brother.
Thank you, Brett.
Absolutely. So thank you guys. Again, we don't do this stuff without you. If nobody was listening to this or watching this, we wouldn't come on here and do this. Hopefully this helps you. And if I can ever do anything for you, I know Matt and Steve feel the same way. Please, please, please reach out. And that's how we grow, especially during this pandemic. There's no secrets out there, guys. Share, help one another, collaborate with each other, and just help each other out without the expectation of anything in return. I think you do that and you set yourself up for success. So appreciate it.
All right, guys.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.